The Medieval Castle of Paphos. The castle of Nea Paphos on the west side of the harbour was first erected in the mid-13th century by the Lusignans to replace the castle at Saranda Colonis, 40 Columns, which is located approximately 600 metres to the northeast. It is a small fortress built exclusively of limestone blocks. It is accessed through one gate only on its eastern side, and it has very small windows. It consists of a single massive tower surrounded by a curtain wall and a terrace at the level of the top floor. The castle was destroyed shortly before 1570 by the Venetians to prevent it from being used by the Ottoman Turks, who were expected to invade Cyprus. The castle was restored by the Turks in 1592, as stated in a Turkish inscription above the entrance. On the same side of the harbour, there are the remains of a second fortress, probably built at the same time as the extant one. Let us travel back in time, so that we may grasp the significance of this castle for the island's defences, mainly during the medieval period, that's from 1192 to 1489. Cyprus' unique geographical position in the maritime domain of the Byzantine Empire, coupled with the aspirations of the newly consolidated Islamic world, turned the island and the surrounding sea into a theatre of fierce competition between the two superpowers of that era, Byzantium and the Arabs. Because it found itself at the point of collision between those two worlds, Cyprus became Byzantium's vanguard and outpost. This also explains why Cyprus was chosen as the first target of Arab naval activity, initiated with their 649 AD incursions. The Saracen raids continued for more than three centuries and caused the island great suffering and immeasurable disasters. The grave dangers facing the island underlined the exigency of enhancing existing fortifications, but also of creating new ones along the coasts. It is believed that this was precisely the reason that led to the erection in the second half of the 7th century AD of the three castles in the northern mountain range, Canthara, Buffavento, and St. Hilarion, since security considerations dictated that both the southern and the northern coasts of Cyprus be fortified. Paphos already boasted a castle and towers in the early 7th century. Although it was no longer the island's capital, Paphos remained an episcopal see and one of the most significant towns. The first Arab raid of 649 AD wreaked havoc. Houses were looted, the walls and the castle were turned to ruins, and churches were razed to the ground. According to legend, only one small church, dedicated to the Virgin Mary, escaped destruction. It was built on a small elevation in Katopaphos, around 800 metres from the castle, and at the time of the raid, a cloud descended upon it, hence its name, Panaia Theoskepasthi, that is, veiled by God. According to existing sources, between 649 and 965 AD, Arabs raided Cyprus 24 times. It all came to an end, however, when the Byzantines recaptured the island during the reign of Emperor Nikephoros Phokas. There followed a period of peace, when important historical personalities visited Paphos and died there, such as Erik Egegod, that is, Evergood, King of Denmark, in 1103, Gulf, Duke of Bavaria in 1101, and Amadeus, Duke of Savoy in 1148. According to Cypriot saint Neophithos the Enklisthos, that's the Hermit, 1134 to 1219, the castle existed at that time and had a naval yard. Looting resumed with the conquest of Cyprus by Richard the Lionheart, King of England, in 1191 AD, according to traveller Jacques Le Sage. During the Frankish rule, and specifically in the 14th century, Paphos was repeatedly sacked by the Genovese. Indeed, it was the Genovese who raised the height of the walls around the castle towers, dug a moat and filled it with seawater, thus making them impregnable, according to Leontios Macheras. These two castles are mentioned by many other travellers who visited Paphos during the Frankish and Venetian occupations, 1192 to 1571. Characteristic among those accounts is Venetian chronicler Marino Sanudo's reference to the two towers which existed at the entrance to the Paphos harbour. However, German traveller Dietrich von Schachten mentioned only one tower in 1491, because the second one had been destroyed by a big earthquake 2 months before his arrival on the island. 50 years later, these two forts were abandoned for financial reasons and were simply guarded by a small garrison. One of the towers collapsed completely, as evidenced by the account of Czech traveller Oldřich Prefat, who in 1546 mentioned only one high rectangular tower. In 1571, during the reign of Sultan Selim II, Cyprus was conquered by the Turks and a pasha was appointed as governor. Paphos became the seat of the regional judge, or kadi, and then the episcopal see of the Bishop of Paphos. No interest was expressed in rebuilding the castle until 1592, when Beylerbey, that's Governor Ahmed Pasha, initiated extensive restoration works resulting in the extant fortress. Several travellers had since described the surrounding ruins, as well as the castle itself, as insignificant, as did William Turner in 1815, underlining its state of disrepair. The dark years of Turkish occupation were followed by British rule. From 1878 onwards, the castle of Paphos was denuded of all its military apparatus. The British flag was put up, and the place was turned into a government storage facility for the salt brought by boat from the Larnaca salt lake. 20 years later, High Commissioner Sir Garnet Wolseley visited the castle. He travelled to Paphos on board the gunboat Hussar, an event which was considered very important in the shipping chronicles of the era. The British governor visited the castle and the salt store and then continued on horseback to Kdima, that's modern Paphos, where he was officially received at Government House. At that time, the castle was surrounded by three large stone-built warehouses where products of local and foreign provenance were stored. Nowadays, these buildings have been renovated and are used as fish taverns, shops, and exhibition venues.